Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Ruckoff here, and today's podcast episode is an interview with Omar Sobey, who is a professional squash coach and has been putting on virtual training sessions with Kadri from GoRuck. Really, really excited to have him on to talk about his events that he's completed within GoRuck, his training, some of his coaching, and these virtual training sessions that he's been putting on with Kadri Cleave and Kadri Edge so far. I learned about these events through posts that he had made on the GoRuck subreddit, ended up reaching out to him, and I'm so glad I did because we had an awesome conversation about all things training related, rucking related, events, and we even got into kids and fitness, and if you're a parent, kind of getting your kids involved and out of their comfort zones. So it's a really cool conversation. Really hope you enjoy this. Really hope you're staying safe out there. You're listening to the All Day Ruckoff podcast, episode number 157. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for downloading this episode. Truly appreciate it. Had a ton of fun talking with Omar. Links to everything we talk about during this episode always can be found in the show notes. These ones will be at alldayruckoff.com/157. And here it is, the interview with Omar Sobey. Today, I'm talking with Omar Sobey. Really, really excited to have him on the podcast to talk about some of these virtual training sessions with Kadri from GoRuck. Omar, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Brian. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks again for taking the time. I know it's, you know, really busy. Everything's pretty crazy right now. And so I appreciate you cutting an hour out of your day for me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. We were just talking about this. We're up early. We've got plenty of time to get work done and make a difference for people, work on our businesses and ourselves. So I'm happy to be here and I appreciate you making the time.
Absolutely. So before we get into these virtual workout sessions, I would just love to get to know more about you. So can you tell me, you know, about yourself, about your background, and then kind of how you got involved in GoRuck events?
Absolutely. So I grew up as a squash player, and most people don't know what squash is. It's not the most popular sport in the world. It's pretty similar to racquetball. You're in a court with four walls. You're kind of contained in a box, and you have to hit the ball against the front wall, and you only get one bounce before you have to get the next shot. What people don't know is that it's actually one of the healthiest sports. It was rated the number one healthiest sport by Forbes magazine. And it's also an extremely good way to get into some of the top colleges in the country. So for me, I grew up in a family, was raised by two parents. One was a national champion. The other one was an international professional player and champion. And me and my sisters grew up just literally going at it, training together, playing against each other. And you grow up in that kind of environment, it's pretty hard not to get pretty serious in the sport. So my sisters now, fast forward, are the top two, close to the top two players in the country. And they are, one is number 8 in the world, the other one is number 30 in the world. And for me, I got recruited to college to play, played professionally for a very short amount of time, and then kind of fell in love with the coaching aspect of things. I always loved training hard, working out, pushing my limits. I learned from a young age that you grow into the environment that you put yourself in. So I really liked pushing myself physically. A college roommate of mine about a year or two after school recommended that I try GoRuck. And I remember seeing a promotional video about it and I was just like scared, right? I saw people doing flutter kicks in a fountain in DC at like 4 a.m. in the video. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I'm ever going to do something like this. It looks crazy. What is this? So he convinced me and I did my first event. It was a tough with a cadre named Cadre Danny Boy in DC. But man, I fell in love with it. It was just the camaraderie, the pushing my limits to the next level. And I found myself just carrying whatever coupon I could carry. I was putting my hands all over it. I was trying to motivate everyone else. And I saw like the comfort zone that I thought I had just was blown to smithereens. And I was like a different person afterwards in terms of my comfort zone and my leadership. So that's how I first got into GoRock. And that's a little bit about my background.
So how long would you say it took before the first time that you saw that video and then you eventually signed up for it? Was there like a switch that flipped where you said, you know, I'm going to do this? Or, you know, was it just, eventually it happened?
I'd say it was probably between 6 months and a year. And I think that it was a combination of me personally growing, where I was starting to want to challenge myself more. I wanted to do new things. And then it was also like a little bit of social pressure where I had not only one college roommate and fraternity brother do the event, but another two fraternity brothers had signed up. So at that point, I was pretty socially inclined to say, you know what, screw it. If my fraternity brothers are signing up and I'm the guy that's the serious athlete here, I better join the ranks too. So that pushed me over the edge.
Nothing like some good peer pressure.
Yeah, nothing like a little competitive social juices flowing to get you to get in action.
I mean, if they can do it, why not you, right?
That's exactly right. And then I got to my first event and I saw people who were participating. There was like a 60-year-old guy. There were like older women. There were older guys. There were even younger guys than me. And I said, wow, you know what? If I was really worried about this, look at all these other people that are showing up. They're not complaining at all, getting under crazy weight, doing all the crazy stuff together, supporting each other without even thinking twice. So it really just was a shock to my system, and it started removing a lot of fear, a lot of self-doubts. And then I could see myself stepping up as a leader more outside of the GoRuck events. As I started doing more of them, I could just feel like my leadership for other people was growing and improving because of those events.
And so when you signed up for this event and you showed up to it, you're playing for college?
No, this was after college. And then for me at that point, I was a squash professional at the Metropolitan Club of the city of Washington, D.C. So I was still in the sport and I was coaching.
Okay, good to know. I was wondering if you're, you know, worried about potential injuries or anything that could have come along those lines, because, you know, GoRuck events are pretty unknown as to what you're going to be doing at them.
Yeah, I I was, knock on wood, I've always been lucky to stay healthy while I was training. And I actually attribute that because I used to train very hard physically. So I think because my body was so used to a lot of stresses always being put onto it, it just, you know, I think I built up that like physical wherewithal to handle a lot of load and stress and endurance and know how to deal with it. And I was always very into just stretching and warming up and cooling down and listening to my body. So if something was really tight, I could, you know, I knew how to kind of take care of it. And I knew how to just acknowledge that it was there so that I could take care of it.
It's really smart. It's, you know, really important to listen to your body. And I'm sure, you know, your family, your siblings are all professional squash players, world renowned. It's crazy. I mean, it sounds like you've had a pretty strong base with that growing up, at least, you know, your training in knowing yourself. So that's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my sisters into rucking. I think they're pretty close. So I think we could see them at an event soon. My sister, so I'm the oldest. So my older of my two sisters, Amanda, was in Boston for the last HTL that I did sort of kind of babysitting me a little bit. So she got to experience an event. She got to see what was going on. And that was a pretty tough one with Cadre Cleave and Cadre Edge. So she really got to understand what to expect a little bit more. And I think she was, I think she started to get excited to jump in for one of these events soon.
That's awesome. So it sounds like, I mean, you had a great time at your first event. You had a lot of takeaways from it because you've signed up for numerous events since then. You know, was there something in particular from that first event that sticks out to you when you think back to it that really resonated with you and as a, you know, has been a source to draw on?
Yeah, so a couple of things definitely stick out to me. I would say number one, I don't know what it's called exactly, but it's a parking block was our team weight. When you pull into parking spots, they have these giant concrete things that are supposed to stop your front tires so you don't run on the curb. That was our team weight. And maybe a quarter or halfway through the event, we ended up picking that up from behind some tree on the Washington, near like a Washington monument. So I remember that parking block, and that was something that was so heavy. We figured out how to carry it with four people. It was just brutal. But that was the first thing I really remember, overcoming that obstacle and figuring out how to carry that. And then just like owning that obstacle. It didn't own us. We took control of that thing, and we basically like, we own that throughout the event. So it was kind of totally turning that parking block around psychologically and, you know, taking control of it. The other thing I would say is there was definitely a point in the first event where it was probably 2 a.m. It's like halfway through. They call them the bewitching hour of the tough events. But for me, I knew I was tired. I knew I was dying, but I just found this next level within me where I had never found that before. I'd never done something like this before. I knew I had what I thought was nothing left, and I just shattered those limits and then ended up actually carrying more weight for longer, going harder for the second half of the event after I thought, you know, I had this moment where I thought I had tapped out all my reserves and all my energy, and I just like demolished that mindset and those limiting beliefs, right? And then the last thing from the first event is I remember there were a couple people struggling, including even one of my friends who was a fraternity brother. And I remember just like taking their ruck for a little bit, like motivating them, supporting them. I remember I made a contribution to help them get through the event, and also to help them start to like build themselves back up after they had reached their point where they had just been totally broken down. So those were really three defining events in my first event that really got me fired up, motivated, excited to get after it and get out there again for future events.
I really like those because, I mean, those are three things that you don't really experience at most typical events. Non-GORUCK related events, right? I mean, so few events really push you to that breaking point and then you find out what's on the other side. And so few events you have the ability to, you know, look at your teammates around you and help them up when they need it. And then when you're starting to break down, they're there to help you up, you know, over that length of a duration. I mean, they're pretty unique.
Exactly. And this is why I love GORUCK events. It's like, you can't really get this, that kind of experience in other areas in life. And GORUCK events really make that just, it makes it so possible and easy for you to have that kind of life-changing experience. So that is exactly why I have been sort of addicted to doing events since then. I have signed up for at the very least one per year. And then each event that I do, it's weird how it almost feels like a vacation, right? I don't have to deal with any of the usual stressors or worries of life. Instead, I just get to connect with interesting people, connect with myself, get in nature, like just push my limits and have what I like to think about as just a very enjoyable and tough weekend experience.
I mean, you really get to live in the moment. You don't have to worry about, you know, the next room of the house you have to vacuum or all the chores, everything going on at home. You don't have to worry about work. You can just, relatively speaking, relax. You can take a mental load off here and there and just take part in this awesome experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. All you're thinking about is your next step, you know, just making it a little further with that weight on your back, making sure that your team is all good, and then making sure that everyone is like together supporting each other, and you're making your time hacks, achieving your goals in the Go Ruck. And I love it. It's like no phones, no other worries. I never spend any time, especially like a full weekend, not checking my phone once, except for these Go Ruck events. So it's really something awesome. I don't even bring my phone with me, because I did one event in DC where it was with Cadre Hot Mike, Cadre Cleave, and Cadre Rob. And I would have to say, out of all the events I did, this was the toughest one. They beat the crap out of us, and we were in water so much of the time. And not like, not real water, not like an ocean or a sea or a river. Like, we were in a duck pond most of the time, doing hydro burpees, doing like disgusting like workouts in the most gross water ever, where I remember coming up from hydro burpees and like wiping duck poop off my face and stuff like that. And I did an HTL there with a few other people. First of all, anything that we had in our backpacks, even though we thought we had these like dry bags, everything got soaked. The food, this, that. I actually threw out some of my food so I didn't get like sick, because all that duck pond water in there is not good for the stomach. But the couple other buddies that finished the HTL were eating the food. They, you know, and we all at the end of it, our stomachs were a little off. We had a little rashes here and there, but we didn't mind. We didn't care at all. We loved that event. We loved the fact that we completed it. And it was like, that was a whole nother level of toughness that we pushed ourselves through, that knowing you can get through that, you know, you can get through anything. You can get through a tough work assignment you need, a tough, whatever it is, like anything tough going on with family, a tough conversation, any level of toughness in life seems completely and utterly doable compared to doing something like that.
And that's one of the reasons why I, as well, like doing at least one event per year, just to kind of give yourself that good reminder and that good, you know, point that you can look back on that's fairly recent and recall stuff like that, because it's true. Once you've gone through one of these tough events, once you get into the hard things at work, the hard things at home, you can look back on it and be like, you know, at least I'm not doing hydro burpees in a duck poop infested pond.
That's exactly right. It's all perspective, right? It's all perspective.
Sure is. So you've been a squash coach for a while now. I'll let you tell me, you know, how long, but I'm curious if, you know, after doing some of these events, you've incorporated some of the things you've learned, some of the mental toughness aspects from these events, you know, into some of your coaching. Has there been any overlap there?
That's a great question. And for me, I've been coaching for about 15 years, and definitely I saw my coaching improve a lot after doing Go Ruck events. I took away a lot of things from the cadre themselves in terms of how they communicate and how they run their sessions. You know, everything, you have very clear objectives. They're all nice guys, but they don't take any crap either. They're very good at promoting teamwork and leadership. And I felt like after I did my first Go Ruck event, my squash coaching drastically improved from all of those different points that I just mentioned. So, and actually to build off of that, this past summer, that HTL that I did in Boston that I was telling you about with Cadre Cleveland, Cadre Edge, so I finished that on Sunday. I flew back from Boston to Baltimore Monday early morning, and I had a squash camp that I was running at 9 a.m. that morning. So forget like the lack of sleep, the lack of anything. I came in so fired up and so just like jacked up from this HTL. And the first thing I did was like almost like a mini welcome party where I smoked all my students. And I think I was really, I was like supercharged as a coach. And, you know, the GORUCK event and the HTL definitely helped me get in that mindset and helped me bring that good coaching forward.
That's great. And I mean, that's awesome that you know, use the fire from that event right into your coaching session, because I mean, the flip of that would be being incredibly exhausted. So I'm glad that worked out for you, because that's, you know, that's not much time recovery until you're firing on all cylinders again with your camp.
Yeah, I might have taken a nap between the morning and the afternoon sessions, but I definitely showed up in full force for every session that I was leading. So,
and that's the important part right there. And I mean, that's something that you learn. If you haven't learned it already, you can learn pretty quickly at GORUCK events. You know, you put out when you're going, and then as soon as you get that 10-minute break, it's, you know, figure yourself out, and then whatever time you have left over, just kind of you know, rest a little.
Yeah, and the other thing that was helpful too is that my squash students at that point, you know, they knew that I had come from a GORUCK event, right? And a lot of my students know that I do these events, but when they know that I'm running on no sleep and like 42 hours of exercise over the weekend, and I'm pushing them and they want to complain, they look within and they say, you know what, if our coach just did this and pushed himself, I'm in no position to complain from an hour of fitness right now. I'm not even close to in a position to complain. So I think it served as a good example for them and a good inspiration to them. And it definitely helped them toughen up a lot. And, you know, even it got to the point where a lot of my students were asking if they could try some sort of GORUCK like event and just experience it a little bit, because this culture got built amongst my students where everyone loved training, loved pushing themselves, and they really wanted to taste and experience what GORUCK was like and would give them. So I guess fast forward from last year in the camps and all these events, obviously COVID hit and we were quarantined. And, you know, I had a relationship existing with some of the cadre that I trained with and worked out with. And a lot of my students were asking for like an age appropriate version of a GORUCK event that could be done virtually, that could be, you know, that they could do at home throughout the quarantine period. So I talked to a couple of cadre that I knew, Cadre Cleave, Cadre Edge, being two of them. And we set up these virtual events. And I remember the first one, I got so many texts from the students that joined afterwards. And they were all saying the same thing, like, wow, I'm so glad that you shared this, that you set this up. Like, I've never experienced anything like that, and it was one of the best experiences of my life that I've had. Like, this is so awesome. Thank you, and thank the cadre so much. So it was really fulfilling and rewarding to hear that from the students, and it's pretty much exactly what I was telling you before about my experience from my first event. We got to bring that to a lot of these younger kids in an age-appropriate, quarantine appropriate way, where they could get that first GORUCK event experience themselves.
That's really exciting. And that's you know, phenomenal feedback to get from those virtual events. That must have made you pretty happy to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thrilled. The cadre were very happy. Cadre Edge from 18A Fitness is his company. He's an expert in just this, a lot of recovery, mobility, breathing stuff. And he's such a good guy and good character. So it was awesome having him lead some events. Same with Cadre Cleave, who's just an amazing guy. He really pushes your limits, but he cares at the same time. And he wants to build up leaders. And he really wants everyone to touch that edge and break out of their comfort zone. So it was so good having both of them lead these events. They were happy to get the feedback that was super positive, and so was I.
That's great. And it sounds like so far, you know, you've run multiple events with Cleave, and I believe one event with Edge so far.
That is correct.
So, you know, these virtual training events, is this something that you started because COVID hit and it's kind of a way to adapt for your students and for people who want to take part? Or have you been running virtual training events before this?
So it's funny, before COVID, I was very off of social media. I had done all my training in person and just kind of didn't really do any marketing. A lot of it was word of mouth, where I always am a firm believer that you give more than is expected of you or that people are paying for, and that's how you're going to be successful and grow your business. So I always try to give the absolute best coaching, and if somebody's paying me X, I'm going to try to give them 2X worth of value for their sessions. So once COVID hit, I had to it was a little bit of a slap in the face of how unprepared virtually I was for any sort of training. So I had to get my pieces in place to be able to provide some virtual services for people, because that was pretty much the only way that you could train others. So this whole virtual training through, you know, from the cadres absolutely came up because of COVID. But the idea of bringing GoRuck style events to my students was there long before, the virtual events happened and the whole quarantine happened. And we were planning on doing some sort of private event for the students, especially the students who aren't 18 years old. So we could include some older middle school kids, some high school kids. We would do a private event that would include a lot of my students and give them that GoRuck experience in a way that was going to be just appropriate and healthy for the younger kids. So we kicked around the idea for a long time, but once COVID hit, a lot of moving parts were happening, and it was just a perfect opportunity to pull the trigger on the virtual events.
That makes a ton of sense. And so I'm curious, you know, you've been running this and you've had a lot of your students join. Is this something just for your students, or is this something that, you know, anyone else can take part in as well?
That's a good question. We have opened it up to anyone who wants to join. And what I've been seeing is that it's usually been about kind of 50-50, where my students have been joining, but then we get another half of participants that just saw through social media that one of their favorite cadres was running an event and they joined. So it was a combination of both, and it really shows you how amazing and popular these cadres are, because really out of thin air, a ton of people signed up just purely on their love of the cadre and their love for GoRuck. So it really says something about about GoRuck and about the cadre leading the events.
That's so true, because, you know, a lot of people see the cadre's name associated with something and then, you know, they want to be a part of it. I'm sure your students joined because of all the stories that you've had, you know, and you've been telling, and because it's through, you know, SoBe coaching. But people in the, you know, the GoRuck community are probably not looking to be, for the most part, better squash players. So they're probably joining because of the connection with the cadre that they've got.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it was good to see people also from the GoRuck community just joining for the second round too with Cadre Cleave. And that shows you, for the second, even third round, it just shows you how much these people enjoyed even the virtual sessions with the cadre and were happy to get a taste of a GoRuck event throughout the quarantine period.
So I want to get into what, you know, gear that you need to take part in this. But before I do, I'm curious about these virtual training sessions. You had mentioned that one of the reasons why you wanted to put it on is so that you could have people from your team who are under the age of 18 take part in these events, in these training sessions. So is there an age limit on them? Is this something that's, you know, suitable for younger people? A lot of members of the community have done events with cadre, and, you know, some of them swear a bit. Is this something that is suitable for people who are of the younger ages?
So my cohort that joined, I think the youngest kid that joined was in eighth grade. So it was between eighth and 12th grade. And these are students that, for sure, they train hard normally. So they play sports for probably a good 2 to 4 hours a day. So they are well-versed with training. I also know which of my students physically can handle what. And I have, thank God, a pretty good relationship with the parents where they trust me. They've worked with me long enough where they know that I'm not going to do anything that's too much or too risky for their kids. So I think the appropriate way to adjust these rucking exercises and rucking like events for the kids is you adjust the weight for them so they're carrying a weight that's according to their body weight. And most of these kids were carrying, I would say, around maybe 20 pounds in their backpack. So it's really not an incredible amount of weight. And then a lot of the kids were actually working out together in a socially distanced way. So they were there in person together. So you could spot them on the form of their exercises at the same time. And that's where you start to see risks coming to kids when they're training is either they want to overload themselves with weight, which doesn't really make sense if you don't have mastery over just your body itself. I'm a big believer in, first of all, focus on body weight stuff. And once you can master the body weight at a younger age, then you can start to add a little bit of just healthy amounts of weight onto the body weight exercises that you're doing. And then number two is that you got to have the good form no matter what. If you're jerking around your body in weird ways, it's just you're not going to get much out of the exercise and you're putting yourself in jeopardy where something not great is going to happen to you. So I think managing those two aspects made it made me feel comfortable getting younger kids in the mix. And also everyone finished it. Everyone was safe and healthy and all good, thank God. And I think we did a good job of just making sure that we administered the virtual event in a way that was as safe and healthy as possible.
And that's, exciting to hear because there are people out there who have kids who are, in junior high and high school and who like working out with them. And it's cool that they could sign up for this and, kind of do it together in their backyard or do it together where they work out. But it's something that they could do with their kids.
Yeah. And it reminds me of my story when I was younger. A little bit. I was not always a great squash player. I was really in my head as a junior for a long period of time where I would get angry during these matches. I had broken rackets. And at the same time, I knew that I was training hard, but a lot of it was coming from my dad, who was my coach. So there were a lot of things for me that growing up, I didn't, I figured out later on in the game of training and life through events like Go Ruck and through other life experiences. But for me, it's a passion of mine to be able to bring that sort of transformational experience to young adults and to younger people. So they start, they can just expedite their growth as a human being from a much younger age. And then when you start seeing that, that shapes these kids into leaders for the rest of their lives. So that's always been a big passion of mine, and I'm grateful we've had a chance to put some of that passion into action here.
That's really cool to hear. And so I'm curious, getting into the gear, the equipment needed for this, what do you need to take part in these virtual training events? Both in terms of the physical gear, do you need a ruck? Do you need a sandbag? And then the technology that you use to kind of host these things.
So for me, I have a Go Ruck ruck. I have a couple of different weight plates. I have a sandbag. What we needed for these virtual events was just a ruck and the necessary amount of weight based on your body weight in the ruck. The kids ended up using bricks. So 6 bricks if you're over 140 pounds, 4 bricks if you're under. Other kids ended up taking like a couple of weight plates from the gym. So maybe 2 10-pound plates and then wrapping them up with some sort of foam wrapping so they're not too harsh on their back. And then everyone had a water bottle with them in addition to a water bladder, right? Because if you're training outside and you're having a 2-hour welcome party-ish event with Dick Hadre Cleave, you better be staying hydrated. So that was pretty much it for everyone. And virtually most of the participants were doing these workouts outside and had just brought their phones as the, you know, the viewing apparatus for these events. And it wasn't bad. You could just prop up your phone. People actually made like a circle and had their phones propped up on their water bottles so everyone could see their own phone. And we had a speaker that was hooked up to a phone so you could hear the cadre loud and clear and you could hear what was going on. And I loved these events because everyone showed their face. You do some Zoom events where a lot of people click off their screen and you can't see anything, but everyone showed their face. Everyone left their volume on. So it was really as interactive as it could get for an online workout.
That's great. And did you run it through something like Zoom Meeting?
That's exactly right. We ran it through Zoom Meeting, so it was super, super easy to run it through your phone and see and hear everything.
I mean, we had talked about this a little bit before, but you know, one of the reasons why you had done this is, you know, not only so that you could get this awesome training session in for your students and, you know, open it up to the GoRuck community, but was also so that you could help out some of the cadre. So I'm curious about the cost for these events and then, you know, where the money goes for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, for me, I understand the training business got hit really hard, the training and coaching business. In the quarantine period and throughout COVID, a lot of cadre that were leading a ton of events didn't have events to lead anymore. A lot of professional squash players and squash coaches too didn't have any clubs to teach at. Everything was closed. So it really was a tough time for people. So I ended up getting these cadre involved. Usually it was between $20 and $30 for an event. And then the lion's share of that, the large majority, was going to the cadre. A small fee was going just to help out with administrative stuff to cover some administrative costs. And then there was also donation links available. I raised a bunch of money for No Kid Hungry. I think to date, we raised over $2,500, almost $3,000. So we raised a good amount of money there. And then for Cleave, we had donations open to the Recon Marine Foundation. So we encourage donations coming from people to support those in need throughout the COVID quarantine period. And then at the same time, we understood that people might be hurting. A lot of people joining might be actually, might be people themselves that are involved in training others. So it was a recession. So the option to donate was available to people. And then, you know, you had to pay the cadre to join these events.
That's really, really cool. I mean, not only raising all the money, because that's phenomenal, but it's true. A lot of these cadre who are running events every weekend, every other weekend, I'm sure they started to depend on some of the income they got from GoRuck. And now with events, gosh, I mean, for the past month and a half, 2 months, completely canceled. That's really nice of you to do, to give them another avenue to help them, you know, support them that way.
Yeah, it's an honor to be able to help everyone out. And that's really the whole goal of business and coaching, is to make a difference. So I feel very lucky and blessed to be able to have made that difference. And now post COVID, people were saying, and there were theories out there that towards the beginning of the quarantine, that a lot of people are going to be scared to come back into reality. But I think the GORUCK community is really missing getting under real weight together in person as a team. And I really have the faith and the belief that events are going to come back. Obviously, the organization itself is going to be safe and take every precaution that they can to promote the safety and welfare of their customers. But I think that the GORUCK community is going to be very excited to get back to events. And I think that there's definitely going to be a resurgence of some good old healthy rucking once the world opens back up.
Man, I sure hope so. You know, when COVID hit, that was the weekend of a tough light down here in Seattle. And I think that event was the first one to get canceled. That was canceled due to COVID. And then the following week is when GORUCK came out with their statement and started canceling all the events. And so I was getting excited for that. And I've just kind of had to like push this excitement down the line and hoping that, you know, things get safe and we can open up events because, you know, obviously don't want to do anything dangerous, but at the same time, definitely missing it.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And I've been getting a bunch of notes on social media from my students and from my GORUCK buddies just saying, hey, this event is now back online. Like, oh, what about this one too? I just signed up for this. Why don't you join me? So I'm already starting to hear the buzz from the GORUCK community about events coming back online, and they're excited about that.
I've been getting text messages too, and right now the big one out for Seattle is the 50-mile star course coming up towards the end of summer. So excited, getting excited about that, and we'll see. I haven't committed it to it yet, but those are fun events. Do you have something that you're looking forward to on your calendar?
You know, I saw that there is, I think there's a Tough Light coming up in Philly, I want to say potentially next month. Somebody let me know about it the other way, but I did not book it or put it on the calendar officially yet. And then I know that there's a Double Heavy. I want to say there was one planned in the Cleveland area in August. I have a couple buddies that were chirping about that on social media. So I think if that one is live, I'm very interested in doing that. That would be a great way to end the summer and to really officially get back to events. And any sort of events that come up in the meantime, I'm definitely going to have my eye on them because I'm dying to get under some weight and to get back in a real event.
Yeah. Yeah, I've, you know, anything on the calendar I've got my eye on, and you're absolutely right. Double Heavy, Cleveland, Ohio. That's going to be a big event. So it's exciting that, you know, you're looking at that.
Yeah, maybe I'll see you there, Brian. You never know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking about upcoming events, we're not back to these physical events yet, but I'm curious if you have any on the schedule, on the calendar, any of the virtual ones with upcoming cadre.
So we just moved, I'm in the Philadelphia area. We just moved to yellow status as a state, which means things are starting to open back up. I think we're expected to be green status, I want to say June 24th. So we have about 2 weeks left to get back to green status. I know that there have been some informal rucks. No cadre leading them, but just members of the GORUCK community have scheduled these rucks on weekends and evenings and stuff like that over the next couple weeks. And it even started last weekend, literally the day after the state became yellow status. Everyone, you know, a bunch of people got together and scheduled personally scheduled GORUCK event. So people are itching to get after it again. I am thinking of just waiting to see what happens with the state regulations. And I know that if we do turn green, there's going to be a rush to get out there for the real thing and the real events. My students who are 18 years old are excited to get out there for the real GORUCK events. I have been back and forth with different cadre about leading some sort of like personal live event for my group of students. So I think that is going to be coming in the near future as well, assuming that the state goes green. I think one of those personal live events is really the next step and the next chapter for us.
That's exciting. So there's currently no upcoming virtual training sessions on the calendar, but is there a chance that there will be more?
There is absolutely a chance that there will be more. I'm keeping my fingers on the pulse of how things are turning out in live fashion, and then definitely keeping in touch with different cadre, with different participants of previous events, with my students, with the GORUCK community in general, to just get a feel for what people want for the future, and and kind of keeping that in mind as we think about what next virtual or live event is going to be coming.
Very cool. And I'm excited for you guys that you're out there in yellow status. We have phases over here, and we're still in phase one. We just got to phase 1.5 out of 4. So nothing's opened up. We're still pretty much in lockdown. So that's nice that you guys have gotten to a point where you're able to start getting back into, you know, some semblance of getting together.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's been nice. And I know that if, you know, God forbid there's some sort of spike in cases again, I know that that will be another definite sign and opportunity to get some more virtual events on the calendar. And then if things do continue moving forward as planned, getting, some sort of private event going, and also just getting back in the mix of good old fashioned GORUCK events we love, will be coming soon.
So where can people, you know, find out more information about these if you end up having another virtual training session with a GORUCK cadre? Do you post them on a website? Is there some place they can go on social media? Like what's a good spot for people to look at?
So to sign up for upcoming events and get a bunch of different free training resources and training tips, people should go to my website, sobhycoaching.com. S-O-B as in boy, H-Y, coaching.com. And then you can find me on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Sobhy Coaching, or Omar Sobhy.
And I'll have links to all those in the show notes so people can click them and head on over to those websites.
I definitely appreciate that.
So I know we're, you know, getting close to the end of our hour we have scheduled together. Is there anything else that we might have glossed over, that we might have missed, you know, kind of running through this, that you want to make sure that we talk about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I just go back to the point I brought up earlier about my passion for helping younger people really grow into leaders, grow out of their comfort zone at an earlier age, and the difference that that will make for the rest of their lives. So I would love to give any parents that are out there just a shout out and a reminder that there are definitely many ways in healthy, safe, like nurturing ways that you can help expose your kids to another level of their comfort zone, whether it's through sports, whether it's even through exercising with you and like together with you as a parent, or whether it's through, you know, some sort of private like event GORUCK wise where high schoolers get together and really they get an experience where they get to flex their leadership muscles and also expand their comfort zone a little bit more. I'd love to give a shout out to the parents out there to just put this on their radar. Think about how they can help their kids grow into leaders, grow out of their comfort zone more. And then for all those high schoolers and middle schoolers that might be listening or that might somehow get access to this, definitely it's very easy when you're young or at any point in your life to live in the comfort zone. And at the same time, there's a feeling of just inadequateness of life when you're living small, right? So my recommendation for younger people, especially, but for anyone, is really get out of your comfort zone, push your limits more. You are going to enjoy life and feel much more alive when you are pushing out of your comfort zone, thinking about others and making a difference for others more, and living life with that mindset and in that frame of mind versus just the opposite. So those are my closing remarks for parents, for kids, and for anyone to help people really flex their leadership muscles and get out of their comfort zone a little bit more.
That's, you know, great advice. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways, like you said, to come out of your comfort zone. And, you know, some of them work for some kids and some of them work for other kids, and not everything works for, you know, every single kid. So trying different things and figuring out what works with your kid is important, because, you know, just because your kid doesn't like basketball or doesn't like one form of team sport doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be within their comfort zone for the rest of their life. You just not might have found their passion yet. And with kids, you know, it can take time to figure out what they're passionate about because they've got so much else going on with their life, especially in this day and age. I don't know about you, but it's things are different for kids these days than from when I was a kid.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of students that pretty much the majority of their day is scheduled from morning to night. So it's, you know, you got to let kids be kids. And then there are, I would say, probably the best ways to get kids out of their comfort zone and get kids doing hard things is together as a community. Some of my students, probably about 10 of them, they're all in high school. Actually, there's one middle schooler involved, but they scheduled on their own without my direction morning training sessions at 6 a.m. before school. You know, and I never told them to do that or, you know, advised them to do any of that. They wanted to do it on their own, and they planned out their exact like 50 minutes of exercise. They coordinated themselves, and then they would give each other rides to school afterwards. So it's really something impressive that with community, right, with all their friends being there, and with a little bit of social pressure where somebody's not showing up, you know, some of the other kids are just pushing them to get back in the mix, you see kids doing really unusual and impressive things. But because the team aspect was there and the friendship aspect was there, you know, it actually was a joy for those kids to show up. They wanted to show up. So that's one example of how you can get kids out of their comfort zone and how actually it can become easy and fun for them when it becomes more of a social and community thing.
That's impressive. That is impressive. And it's true. You know, looking back when I was in high school, the things that got me out of my comfort zone were mostly things that involved community, involved friends and doing stuff with them. So that's a great reminder there.
Absolutely.
Omar, thank you so much for taking all this time out of your day to talk with me, to talk about the virtual events you put on, to talk about your coaching, your experiences with GoRuck events and what you've taken away, why you keep doing them. This has been a ton of fun for me. I just want to say thank you again for taking this time out of your day to chat.
Me too, Brian. I want to give you a big thank you for bringing me on your podcast. And I want to thank you for everything you do for the Rucking community and for GoRuck. So thank you so much for having me and for everything you do. And I'm looking forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 157 with Omar Sobey. Omar, thank you so much again for taking the time out of your morning to chat with me. Truly appreciate it. And I had a great time. I hope you did as well. If you want links to anything we talked about during this episode, you can hit up the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/157. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to help support the All Day Ruck Off podcast, you can always leave a review. Apple Podcasts is a great place to do that. Just search for All Day Ruck Off. And if you want to help support the podcast financially, there's always the online store, alldayruckoff.com/store, as well as Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff. Both of those are truly appreciated. There's some additional bonus content with supporting through Patreon. If you haven't checked that out, I think it's worth checking out. It's one of those things that you can cancel anytime. So check it out. See if you like it. Cancel if you don't. It's up to you. Again, really hope you enjoyed this episode with Omar, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. As always, don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and thank you again for tuning in.